the Heaven and Home Hour.
Across our great land, we come to you with another Heaven and Home Hour, bringing just a little bit of heaven right straight into your hearts and homes. We've been saying that for the past 40 years, and we mean it from our hearts. Today, Pastor Jim is going to speak to us. By the way, Pastor Jim comes from the state of Iowa, and recently when I was back in Washington, D.C., we heard Harold Hughes, who is the senator from Iowa, speak to the broadcasters and also at the presidential prayer breakfast. And my heart was so stirred that I believe next week sometime we shall be having on the air here some thoughts that Vice President Gerald Ford gave us and also Harold Hughes. And very frankly, friends, I'm very encouraged with the things that I heard when I was in Washington, and I want to share them with you. I'm glad that we live in America. America's not lost. There's still hope for America. And we trust you, friends, will stand behind our great land and pray for your leaders. Pray for your Congress and pray for your senators and pray for those that are in office. They need our prayers. Well, Pastor Jim, today's your turn. What do you have today?
Well, today, Russ, I'd like to talk about the way in which the Lord calls seemingly unknown or unuseful people into his service. And the first person that comes to mind is a man we read about in the New Testament whose name is Matthew. Now, it's a well-known fact that there are no two people alike in personality. And just the same in the Gospels, we see this very striking and wide variety in the disciples of Jesus Christ. There's a strong testimony of the universality of the Christian faith seen here. It can take every form of human life and temperament and mold it as to be of service in the cause of Christ. Now, as we look for some information into the background and the life of this man, Matthew, there isn't a lot of New Testament evidence. What we're speaking from today, from the 9th chapter of Matthew, verses 9 through 13, we can find some information, and its parallels in Mark 2 and in Luke 5. But from what we do have, there is enough for us to see a clear picture of his relationship of his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. So first of all, then, let's look at the man. Matthew, we know, was a tax collector. Now, this occupation was for one who elicited intense animosity on the part of the Jews, who strongly opposed this mark of Roman domination. So consequently, any Jew who took up this sort of work was regarded as an enemy of his country, or a sort of a profiteer, or maybe even a social outcast. So Matthew probably was not on too good of terms with the Jews in the day. Now, the occasion was while Matthew was engaged in this despised occupation that he came into contact with Christ. Now, no one has ever gone too far or sunk too low for the Lord to deal with him. Now, we notice that Christ came to him. Now, this is characteristic of Jesus' ministry all the time that he was here on this planet. Luke tells us that he, Jesus, came to seek and to save that which was lost, and it's very evident in him calling Matthew into his service. And many times I've heard people say, and probably rightly so to a certain extent, I found the Lord here or I found the Lord there, but then I've heard others answer probably a little bit more accurately, well, you know, the Lord wasn't lost. We were the ones that were lost, and he's the one that's come to seek and to save us. So notice, too, that Jesus came to Matthew just as he was about his daily work. Now, this is often how Christ comes to us, taking us just as we are and dealing with us along the line of our ordinary lives. Now, as the Master moves in, we see, moving from the man to the Master, two things, the call and the claim. First of all, this was a real revelation of grace. If Christ had been aiming at popularity, he certainly would not have called a despised publican. He would probably have avoided someone of this type. But he went ahead, just as he commonly does in his pattern throughout the New Testament, and called this seemingly unpopular fellow into his service. But that's our Lord. He wants women and men of all walks of life. I can remember years ago as a new Christian attending some of my first Christian retreats and conferences, And one of the best things, I think, for my newfound life at that time was to see the various segments of society represented there. I was just thrilled to see carpenters and teachers, policemen, construction men, salesmen, farmers, every walk of life, and I quickly realized that Christianity was not aiming at any certain slice of society, but it was what every person needs. Our Lord had respect to people's needs, not to their standing in the sight of others. He came to rescue sinners, so he is, and he was willing to welcome all. So this is a wonderful testimony, and now let's look at the claim. Christ's claim over Matthew is seen in his words, which are simply, "Follow me." Now this is a demand which no human being has the right to ask of another. Surrender of personality, each of us being completely independent so far as personal responsibility is concerned. But this shows just how Christ came to be more than man, and that he came to collect sinners and to see that they would first trust him and then obey him. This is what our Lord sought from Matthew, and it's still what he seeks from each one of us. That is, surrender of ourselves to him as Lord and Master, which will best preserve intact our personalities for the purpose of living life intended for us. Remember, Jesus said that he came to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. Now then, the disciple himself, in the last part of verse 9 and going on into verse 10, we see that Matthew's response was something that was very beautiful for us to read. Notice that it was immediate. Now, this was the kind of response that the Lord is looking for in us, something that's immediate. He doesn't want us to feel pressured or something that would cause us to have to feel as though we're getting into something we didn't want to. And whether Matthew had known Christ before or not, and there is evidence that he probably had contact with him, but whether he knew him or not, his decision was made instantly, and he answered the call at once. It was also a deliberate response. There was no compulsion, for Christ will not have pressed followers. Though he impels, he never compels. This Matthew, as a free agent, could have refused, but with full and free purpose of heart and will, he responded. Matthew's response was also thorough. The fact that he left his work and all things connected with it is proof of his real faith and loyalty to Christ. Might I say here that any time someone comes to Christ and denies or gives up what he formerly was working for at or was engaged in for his or her livelihood, that God will honor and bless that person and their ministry. Remember how Job had many possessions, and he came through a grievous time with the Lord, and the scripture tells us that Job was blessed more at his latter end than he was at his former. So now we see that Matthew's response was threefold. It was immediate, it was deliberate, and it was thorough. And then Matthew expresses his testimony, and just as the scriptures tell us, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, Matthew was about to do just that. After giving up his former occupation in life to follow Christ, Matthew presented a sound testimony. The feast which he gave in his house, as Mark records in the second chapter of the Gospel of Mark, was further proof of the change from the old life to the new. And my house willingness is to see in any person, a man, woman, boy, or girl, as they express this new life to the world around them. Matthew's former companions were there, and they'd see just what this meant for him to cast his lot with Christ instead of with Rome. And friend, this is an area of our lives today that Satan can really use to try us and to pull us down as much as possible. This is where the real test of loyalty of any Christian shows. When your friends, with whom you've previously associated in life, see this change in you and see this newfound friend that you have, someone who sort of may step on their toes, it's going to be a real time of testing for you, probably, because Satan is out to use this opportunity to drag you down. Then the encounter. Opposition. Christ's enemies were not slow to take advantage of this situation, and they asked him why he ate with such people, a lowly publican such as Matthew. But the Pharisees here are just as true to form as we see them in other places of the New Testament, using every opportunity to find fault with Christ. May I add at this point that the world continually does this type of attacking on Christians. Fault-finding is not uncommon wherever we go. And I suppose it's illustrated somewhat like an illustration I heard a few years ago, that if we think of Christ as our coach, we notice that in the athletic world that a coach is either praised or he's ridiculed according to the way in which the team performs. Generally, if a football team does well, the coach is praised. But on the other hand, if it doesn't do so good, he's often fired. So in the same respect, how we share our lives and how we share Christ before the world determines whether or not he's going to be praised or he's going to be ridiculed. Jesus' answers to the fault finders here are very pointed, and he hits the mark very squarely. Where he shows that, the purpose of his coming is to meet the needs of those who are conscious of their condition. Just as a physician mends bodies, Jesus came to mend and to heal spiritually sick ones. But the Pharisees were so self-satisfied that they thought they needed nothing, so they would get nothing. Now, as a result of the career of Matthew, we can see a twofold result of this occasion and this encounter with Christ. First of all, he became an apostle. What a privilege for a despised tax gatherer to become one of the chosen 12 who would go down in history. And what a wonderful use Christ can make of even the most unpromising material. Remember that Jesus doesn't choose you for what you are, but rather for what you are to be. Going on, we see that he donated actually and gave his entire life to Christ, and he became an evangelist to walk with Jesus. He followed Jesus all the way, and he devoted his entire remaining years to serving this risen Christ that he loved so well. So as we look back over Matthew's life as a pattern for us today, we can see what Matthew originally was, and then what Matthew became, and finally, what Matthew did. Now, the outstanding message here for us is that the sheer power of the grace of God tells us that by the grace of God, I am what I am. Now, this same grace is still in operation today. It's in the life of every person who has committed his or her remaining years to the Lord and has trusted God for their salvation. And just as Matthew's decision to leave all, to rise up, and to follow Christ, here's a beautiful blueprint for you and me today as we live for the Lord in 1974. Will you do this? And you can do it just now wherever you are today. You can follow the same Christ that affected this publican so many years ago. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the recorded message here in this book of Matthew. Lord, we thank you that even someone as lowly and despised as Matthew was in his career could be called and could be commissioned and therefore could serve this risen Christ. Wherever hearts and homes are tuned in today, Lord, we pray that they'll be challenged and blessed by this and that they will see Christ in the life of Matthew. For it's in Christ's name we do pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Jim. Each day we come to the close of the program, it's hard for us to say, God be with you, because it seems so final. But I hope we've brought just a little bit of heaven your way via radio today. I'm personally looking forward to the time in heaven when there'll be no more time clocks or calendars on the wall to tell us to quit or to go home or to say goodbye. But you can continue our fellowship by taking pen in hand and writing us today. We have a most informative book awaiting you entitled The Marks of a Cult. I think every Christian ought to have one so they can be informed. And it's yours free when writing the Heaven and Home Hour, Box 100, Glendale, California.
This is the 7th, Thursday the 7th of March, 74.